that song with Maitreya, October 20th, 2001.
Welcome everybody to the room of the Mishnah Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. I welcome you to the room, and I hope that you are here to hear the latest revelation from God to humanity and calling to unification. All religions of the world are unified, all the prophecies are fulfilled. In this last revelation, God reveals how He has sent all these religions and teaching of all the humans on earth, and how we can put them all together and unify them under one teaching, which is called Eternal Divine Path, based on the greatest sign. If you go to our website at www.maitreya.org, or the first thing you will see is the greatest sign, and it is animated to show how it has formed. The very beginning, of course, is the universe in the state of pure consciousness, or no manifestation. Then you can see a dot, that is the beginning of the creation, what scientists call Big Bang. And when that equilibrium of the universe was disturbed, then the I Ching is the rotation of the I Ching eventually come to the expansion of the Lotustika, which is the lotus with the I Ching and the Lotustika together, and it shows the beginning of the creation of the manifested world. Of course, as we see in the Bible, it says there was darkness and the Spirit of God moved over the darkness, and that is when God sends His Spirit to the darkness and chaos to help the chaos and the darkness to come back to the Godhood, to bring everything back to the equilibrium. And the Spirit of God goes through the path, and that is, it is God knowing itself, meditating, awakening, realizing who He is. And eventually he realizes that he and God are one. As it said, know thyself to know God. So the process of meditation is to know yourself. The process of awakening of the spiritual process, realizing that you are in the image of God. That's why he said, be still and know that I am God. Be still means to meditate, to know thyself. Therefore, the second step is realize that, you know, many other souls are lost around him, and in order to help him, creation of an environment that conducive to meditative process and spiritual progress is necessary. That's why he realized the communist of life, the communist based on the eternal divine path is necessary, and that is the first step. The first step is awakening of the spiritual forces. Is the mystical path. It covers Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, saints in Christianity, Sufism in Islam, and all the teachings that teaches know thyself, meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, realize who you are. It also covers psychology, you know, and the teaching of the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, and how you know yourself, or how your dreams have relationship with the, you know, spiritual messages and all that. So it covers a spectrum of techniques and ways to know thyself. The second is communities of life. He realizes communities of life are necessary. That is what the Old Testament is based on. God is trying to find a people, or Hebrews, or the children of light, to come together and accept Him as King and His laws as the laws of the community, and create an environment that God is number one. Of course, that sounds like God needs us to make Him number one, but that's not really what He wants. By making number one and concentrating on Him, we overcome a lot of attraction of the external world, and we are free from the lot of problem of ego trips and all the problems related to it. So we are not creating big egos and release ourselves from the external world and Maya and go towards the salvation, which is the unification with the Godhead. So the such environment is necessary to help people to be able to meditate, to take the pressure of the external world off them, to make them, you know, calm and ready to go toward the spiritual progress. Therefore, the Old Testament is the symbol of the creation of the communities of life. God is trying to find a people, a tribe, 12 tribes of Israel, to become His children, and that is the communities of life. What the communities of life is. So everything of the seven forces, the first step, we make it, then direct that energy towards the creation of the communities of life. But creating the communities of life, sacrifice is necessary. If everybody in the community, everybody in a city, everybody in a country, everybody in a earth says what is it doing for me and try to have only for themselves, that is create a lot of discrepancy between have and have not, and that can create suffering and destruction that we can just see what is happening right now on earth, because, you know, some people feel, you know, they don't have enough, and some people think it's their right to have as much as they have, and that is where the concept of sharing comes. Sharing and sharing our resources together and helping each other to come to a more closer, you know, way of living, and also reaching to the universe and a space to bring greater standard of living to everybody, and a lot of problems we have on earth will be resolved. Some people say sharing is a good idea. Sharing is not just a good idea, it is a law. Humanity have to learn to share with each other in order to create peace on earth. So that is what promise of life is, to bring the environment that people learn how to share and live in a much more peaceful and less pressure way of living. And this, in this community of course, sacrifice is necessary. That is what the Christ, the symbol of Christianity, Christ put the symbol of sacrifice for humanity, and that He goes to the cross, all the way to the cross, and sacrificing Himself for His ideal. Of course, we don't have to go through the cross, but the idea is overcome selfishness and self-centeredness and become more toward God-centered and other people-centered, be able to share, to give up ourselves to others, not as I am a good person, I'm doing it, because it is a law. You have to do it in order to create peace on earth. And therefore, of course, the greatest overcoming is the overcoming of ego, centeredness, and that is what really the Christianity is about. That is the message of Christianity. It is sacrifice, not being self-centered. Of course, Christ did more than that. He released the grace to humanity. The grace that was taken away at the time of the Garden of Eden was released back to humanity, and now grace is available to everybody who believes what Christ came for and what our teaching is all about. But you sacrifice and you try to create the communion of life, you meditate, and the communion of life is not happening. You become very upset, and you become very discouraged, and you become, you know, or depressed, you know, why this thing is not happening, I'm putting so much effort on it. That is when the concept of surrendering came to him in that state of development, and he realized that, well, he should just surrender the result to God and said, okay, I have done my best, I have done my work, I have tried my best, now I surrender the result to God. So you have economic supporters, you try to create the communities of life, you sacrifice for it, and you do your best to create the communities of life, and then you surrender the result to God and say, you said, I'm not attached to the result. Because the depression and being unhappy is based on our expectation for the result of our action. And of course, later on he realized in greater degree that surrendering is not enough, but still you surrender the result of your action to God, and still there is an I separate from God exists, So a little submission is even greater than that. That means that God does the great work toward the creation of the fullness of life through you. So then God does it through you, you and God are one. That is the highest spiritual achievement, that when you and the Father are one, then God does work through you, and the result is because you haven't done anything, therefore the result also God's. And that completely frees you from any attachment with the results of your actions, and you go on and do your work, and know, and you know God is doing through you, and because God always does a perfect job, your work will become perfect. It is not perfect, probably it's not God doing it through you, because God is perfect. With all these first steps, still you might become attached to a very small part of the universe, just your household, just my community, just my city, just my state, just my nation, just Earth. That's not good enough. You have to become a universalist. You have to realize God is Father. God is your Father, He is your Mother, and the universe is your home, because God is everything. You cannot separate God to different portions and say this part is greater than that part. God is everything. Therefore, any person, any teaching, any realization, any religion which separates any part of the universe from another part of the universe is not from God. And that is where the universalism comes, and that's the teaching of Bab and Baha'u'llah, who brought as the Baha'i teaching to us. So, he went through these five steps. He evoked spiritual forces. He tried to create the common supply. He sacrificed. He surrendered and submitted himself to God, and he became a universalist. And suddenly he realized he has overcome all the pitfalls of the spiritual path. He meditated. He started knowing himself or herself. He realized he has to create the common supply. Therefore, he had a goal. He had something to work for, you know, in a greater degree, and create an environment for everyone to progress. He sacrificed, therefore he overcome to become self-centered, which is the base of happiness and not being realized, and the problem on earth. He surrendered and submitted to God, therefore he is not attached to the result of his action. He became universalist, which shatters all narrowness of the mind. And the problem on earth and humanity is narrowness of the mind, selfishness and attachment to the titles and to the worldly made thing that makes people think, most of the people, they want to be God. They don't, not necessarily looking for God, but they want to be God themselves, and they do not want to accept His word and the scripture. So, with this five steps, he shattered, you know, selfishness, he shattered being attacked with God's rebellion, and shattered the knowledge of the mind, he became an elect. That is the, what we call paravipras. Elect is the person who goes through the first five steps of the eternal divine path, and that is what all the scriptures talk about, my elect, people who have overcome, my sons, my children, the children of light. These are the real Israelites, the children of life, those who have gone through the first step in the eternal divine path. And by becoming elect, he realized he can help everybody to come to God and he reached pure consciousness or life. And that's when the Bible says, and there was life. And God likes that life. That person reached the life of the oneness with God. Therefore, we can see, and then when he reached the light, of course, you can see in the graphic in the website, for the first time there is a triangle upward created. So he became the top of the hierarchy of first begotten Son of God, and the hierarchy was created, which many sons were created, and you can see the triangle downward is the Spirit of God comes to earth, and the triangle upward is the hierarchy, which the very top is the first begotten Son. So we can see triangle downward and triangle upward. At the very center of the greatest sign is the sign of the kingdom of heaven in heaven. So that is established. And God already had the kingdom of heaven established. Therefore, this path, this seven-step path, in eternity, in the beginning of the creation, became the eternal divine path. In last 12,000 years, especially in the last 6,000 years, God was sending each seed as a religion to humanity. The first came by Noah, which was the after the flood of Noah. He brought the teaching of the awakening of the spirit forces. It's very that the evangelist came to humanity as the base of this teaching is the Vedanta from the Hindu religion, and that is talked about how Atman or Self is the same as Atman or God. Atman with the small e is the same as Atman with the big A. Therefore, we are in the image of God. We have created in this image. Of course, God split man and woman from that consciousness. So we are no longer are in his image until we merge with other part and we become again male and female as man was in the beginning. Then, of course, after Noah comes Abraham. Abraham brings the Old Testament, which is the message of the creation of the communities of light. So creation of the communities of light is very important for humanity to create the communities of light. Of course, the way to create the communities of light is given in our teaching in the website, and the very base of the kingdom of heaven on earth is based on these communities, and a great deal of that is taught in our teaching and the Old Testament. And of course, to create the communities of light, sacrifice is necessary. That is what Christ brought to humanity. He brought that teaching to us. And what after that, of course, learning and submission to God, which releases us from the attachment to the results of our action, and letting God come through. That is Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim. Taslim means to surrender and submit to God. And of course, become universalist, which is the teaching of Baha and Bab, and Baha, you know, universalism, shatters all knowledge of the mind, and you become an elect, or Parabhikra, which is the teaching, came from a person in India by the name of Baba, and he, of course, brought the concept of Sadvipra, and we expand on that and call elect as Parabhikra, means para means beyond. Vipra means intellect, beyond intellect, but reaching intelligent and intuitional realization of self. And such a people are the people that we are looking for. They are called the elect. They're people, they realize, if there is a God, why there is so many religions? But if there is only one God, why do we have Islam? Do we have Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, and all the separation exists right now? We have a great fight going on between two great religions of the world, because each of them says we have the truth. And the comparison, all those I say, is just like a five blind man and an elephant. You know, each of them hold a part of the elephant and say, this is the truth, this is the truth. You know, one of them holds the leg and said, this is, you know, elephant looked like a cylinder. Another one hold the ear and said, no, it looked like a leaf. The other one had hold of the tail and said, no, it's a snake. And all that, each of them was a part of it, and they couldn't agree on what the elephant looks like. And then a man with an eye came and said, all of them are correct. You have just a part of the elephant, and the whole elephant is greater than what you have. And that is what Vishnu Mantra is about. Of course, God already said in the scriptures that there is going to be seven seals sent to humanity. Each seal is related to one religion or one seal in the greatest sign. And he also protected upcoming of a book sealed with the seven seals in the chapter 5 of the Revelation that no one can open. But the one who is chosen to open that, and when that open, that book is open, that is the only part in God's word, in any scripture, that the whole universe rejoices. Because by reading that book, all the humanity will realize, wow, we are a part of God's truth, and all religions have a part of the greatest sign and the eternal divine path. Therefore, there is one God, one humanity, one earth, and that is why we should work toward. So though, or the holiest of the holies, though the last testament, scripture is the revelation that only, that is the only time when it was written down and came to humanity, the whole universe rejoiced, and that is our miracle, and that is what everybody should accept as the miracle of the mission. In this book, it teaches you how you heal yourself. It just, he's not going to heal you because it's not going to work. Even Christ said, when he heals someone, that the spirit goes and brings seven more, and the state of the man becomes worse than he was, because the man, he himself didn't know how to heal himself. Therefore, he couldn't block the, you know, unclean spirit when they come back. So, though it teaches you how you heal yourself. It's just like teaching you how to fish. That's better to teach you how to fish, just give you a fish. I can heal you, but if you don't know how to heal yourself, when I'm done, you're going to be worse than you were before. Therefore, don't ask for it, you know, go do heal us, please heal us, do this and that. It's not going to work. It didn't work then. And also miracles, the miracle does not make a better believer. Moses brought the Israelites from the one side of the Red Sea to the other one. He opened the Red Sea. Then they went to the other side. They were hungry. They started murmuring against him and said, why did you bring us out of Egypt? At least we had food there we could eat and all that. Even in the time of Christ, he does a lot of miracles. What did they do to him? They crucified him. That was the reward of healing people in, or raising the Lazarus and all that, or giving them the 6,000 people with the sea fish and 2 leaves of bread. If miracles would have made a better believer, if all of them should have been, you know, standing for Christ and would not let him to be crucified. Of course, it was prophesied with it. So we say, miracle does not make a better believer. You have to be prepared for this mission. You have to be an elect. That's what we say. If you come to this mission, you realize you have no choice. You already knew a lot of the things we talk about here. And you say, yeah, that makes sense, that makes sense, that makes sense. And you say, yes, what you are saying is truth, because there is one God and one humanity and one earth, and there has to be an explanation why there is so many different religions on earth. So again, this is our teaching. Now you have received the explanation. We are done with you. You are, you have received the message. My job is as a messenger is to give the message to you and humanity, and now you are the person have to reach to humanity and give this message and bring everybody to realize there is one God and all this revelation have come from him, and become more and more unified and share this earth together and create the communities of light based on the eternal divine path and bring the unity on earth and the kingdom of God on earth together. Now, if there are any questions, you can, alright. If, no, please do not preach to us. This is the mission of my trio's room. This is a church. Here, you are here. We are hoping that to learn about the mission. We know about all the other religions of the world. All our members are encouraged to read our scripture. They have read Upanishad. They have read, Bhagavad Gita, they have read all the scriptures. Of course, if you come here and say, you know, in some of the books of the Bible, what was the name of an obscure, you know, person that, you know, buried in the many names, or even make up a name and say, you know who he was, don't expect an answer, okay? Do not try to trick us with your question, tricking question. Come here to know our teachings. We would be very open with an open arm, we accept your questions and your inquiries. We do not mind to discuss your religion, compare them with what we teach here, and why your religion is a part of our teaching. But do not come here with a preaching tendency or yelling at us, we are the Antichrist and all that. We are not that interested on that either. You are not the judge. God is judge. We take that judgment to God and let God judge us who is Christ and who is Antichrist and who has the truth, who doesn't have the truth. You are not, you know, created to judge who we are or who is correct and who is not correct. So please don't do that. But if you have a question about the mission, you want to know about us, you have something you want to realize here, we're very glad to discuss it with you, and we are very open to your questions. Hey, Kemal, go ahead. The question is...
Yes, this is called people have mentioned quite frequently
about the Holy Spirit, about your connection. Yeah. What is our connection with the Baha'i Faith? Baha'i Faith is the very base of the Baha'i Faith is that all religions of the world basically say the same thing. They have come from the same God and they are saying the same thing, and therefore they have to come together and become unified. It was prophesied to come after the Prophet Muhammad. Many Muslims were waiting for another great prophet come to humanity from the lineage of Prophet Muhammad, and Bob came as that prophet. He was from the lineage of Prophet Muhammad. He was a Sayyid. Sayyid means the person who had been born in the prophet's lineage. And usually, if you go to the Islamic country, they have two color of turban. One is black and one is green. And the people who wear the turban, which is color black, it means they are from the lineage of Prophet Muhammad. And Bob was such a person, and he came and he brought a new teaching called Bayan. Bayan, of course, it's very hard to find the Bayan these days, and they have been looking for it, they can't find him. And then, of course, later on, Baha'u'llah came, and he tried to correct and perfect Bob's teaching, because but we can see in the scripture that it reveals that the Baha'i teaching and Bob's teaching is not perfect, because you can read it why. It is in the Job, the holiest of the holies, and that was the twin prophet that God predicted to come. So they brought the concept of universalism, but in our teaching, it's not the same as the Baha'i teaching. Baha'i says all the religions of the world basically say the same thing. Okay, they talk about God and being good and all that. But you don't say that. You know, we say we are revealing the seven seals, and each religion of the world have one specific message. Therefore, they are different in that, and they are not the same. So, Baha'i teaching, in our teaching, is the universalism. Universalism means to accept God as your father and mother and the universe as your home, and therefore you shatter all the narrowness of the mind. So Baha'i teaching, you know, teaching is related to the shattering of the narrowness of the mind and realizing that God is one and all humanity and the universe are his children. Go ahead, Bambino.
Hello, I have a question. Okay, now with the concept of you have an Islam, is it from the Shiite or from the Sunni perspective? The reason being is because I was reading some of the stuff that you were saying about the Dajjal, but you said it was the spirit of the Dajjal. So I'm listening to one of the Shiite perspective, because from the Sunni perspective, the Prophet gave us a very good description of the Dajjal. He said that the guy would say he is ugly, but he isn't. That he would have imperfection in his right eye. The Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said that he would have something in between his eyes. I mean, these were physical descriptions. Now, can you tell me, so when you said the word that they had a spirit of the dog, when I was...
Spirit
of
the Two main branches of Islam is Sunni and Shia. The reason for separation of these two branches was after the after Prophet Muhammad left her body, there was a problem of the succession, and some people believe that after him, Ali, his son-in-law should have become a caliph or the head of the Islamic body. Other people said no, we will go with the tradition of the Arab, which was, you know, choosing as successor by a vote from the community. And Ali also was a young man. In the Arabic culture, they don't trust young people very much to become the leaders, so they trust older people to be more acceptable in that sense. Therefore, they choose another person by the name Abu Bakr, which is the first believer in Islam, and who has spent most of his wealth to support Muhammad and his revelation. And after that was another succession person by the name Umar, and Osman and Umar. So after three persons came, by that time Ali was old enough and community accepted him as the Khalifa or the leader. But the Shia says no. From the very beginning, Ali should have become the Khalifa or the leader. So this is the reason the two branches were split, really. Of course, in order for Shia and Sunnis to separate themselves and make themselves, you know, distinguished, they create different things. So, but in all, the belief basically is the same. Of course, when Ali wasn't accepted, then they accept him as the imam or leader, and then his children. Then there is other branches come. There are five people, imami, there are seven imami and 12 imami, and Shias are the 12 imamis, and they believe that the 12th imam Shafir, just like Christians are waiting for Christ to come from the sky and come and bring the kingdom and God on earth and make everybody Christian. They believe, you know, when imam comes, he's going to come do the same thing and make everybody Muslim. So that is why the concept of imam in Shia is so powerful, and you can see when Khomeini came, you know, they called him imam. They thought he's the person who's going to make everybody on earth a Muslim. So there is same similar concept there came in Islam. Of course, there is a belief which is not against us, like an antichrist. There is a belief or concept as Dajjal in Islam, and he is supposed to come and also bring everybody to start following him and become very materialistic and all that. Same as the antichrist. It's a concept of the attraction to the external world. It's not a person or it's not a being. It is the attraction to the external world which make people go away from God. And in that sense, it's the same as the concept of Antichrist, which also, as even Paul says, he is even here now. Okay, he doesn't say it's going to come in the future. He was there. He's always there. And that is attraction to the external world of Maya, and that is Antichrist is being against Christ. Christ is from God, is the first begotten Son of God, and the Christ is attraction to the external world. If you are going toward the external world, you are following the Antichrist. If you turn around and go toward God, you are going to be baptized, and you are going to follow Christ. So those concepts again are the things that man-made, and God's way of explaining it is in the holiest of the holies, or Job, or the last testament. Kekeme, go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the mic. I was asking specifically your relationship to the Baha'i faith and to the Baha'i writings, and not necessarily information about the Baha'i faith, but just specifically your relationship to it.
First, to understand exactly what you are asking, what is our relationship with the Baha'is in an external world? In this world, really, we don't have any relationship in the sense of they're connected to their organization. We have informed them of this revelation. There are Baha'is in the mission who have sent email and the letters to the organization, and have told them, he who have, who will be manifested has been manifested, and it's based on the revelations and expectations and prophecies based on what Bab, what Baha'u'llah, what Abdul Baha and Shoghi Effendi said and revealed, and now these prophecies are fulfilled, therefore come and join us. We have sent that to every religion on earth, that your expectation is now fulfilled, and therefore you don't have to wait for anyone to come, because it has already come. All the religions of the world are unified, their prophecies are fulfilled. In that sense, our relationship with all other religions is to call them to come, to see, to join, and become unified under these teachings. Of course, as the history have revealed, no religion in the past accepted, at least not the organization and the heads and the leaders of those religions, accepted the new revelation. As we can see that Jews did not accept Christianity, most of them. Christians didn't accept Islam. Islam didn't accept Baha'is, and the Baha'is didn't, probably are not going to accept ours. We are hoping they will, and we pray they will, and therefore we are reaching to the individual that who have been called for this mission, so they can come and join us. They are the ones that are elect. But if they came, if the Baha'i people came tomorrow and the organization said, yes, we believe what you are saying makes sense, and we are a part of you, we are one to be a part of the unification of our religions, and therefore we will become one. If tomorrow Christian and a Muslim come and they said, yes, what you say, it makes sense, we believe in you, that we will not have the war in Afghanistan, we will bring the peace to the two camps right away. If the Palestinians and Jews come and say, yes, we both believe in you, we will say, we have to get along, you have to live together in peace, you should not kill one another, and therefore the peace will come to them. But the question, if they will, that is the question, if they would listen to this new revelation and realize that unity that has come from God to them. So the answer is here, the way is given, the humanity is called to come and join this unification, but according to the history that we know, and according to the scriptures, unfortunately we have to go through a period of tribulation, which is, has already started. We can see that the two camps has been posed against each other. Apparently it seems that the West have the coalition and a lot of support, but I can tell you this support will not last long. The coalition is going to fall apart, and a very, very bad situation going to come to humanity for next 10, 12 years or 15 years. And by 2017, humanity eventually realize they have no choice but to see that this thing is unification. Hopefully humanity realizes this revelation and our teaching and come and become unified. So, if answering your question, we don't have any relationship with the Baha'is, we don't have any relationship with the Islam, we don't have any relationship with Christians, we don't have any relationship with Buddhists, Hindus. You know, really what we are trying to do is gather the elects, gather those that have been called, and then reach to all these religions and hopefully eventually guide them to come, just like a temple that we're going to build. There is a door for each religion in the temple. Every person can come into the temple from their own door. Okay, if you're a Christian, you can go from third seat. If you're a Hindu or Buddhist, you can go to first seat. Or a Jew, you can go to the second seat. But all of them are going to end up in the center of the temple and mix together and become one. Okay, that is the whole idea, to call their elect and eventually call all this religion and bring to the mission. After they are in the mission, they are no longer a Christian, a Jew, or Hindu, or Buddhist. They are divines. So, no, we do not have any relationship with any of the religions in the physical sense. Go ahead, Bambino.
Thank you.
I wasn't quite clear because I was hearing what the people said also. Now, so you're saying that the dog is not an actual person? The reason why I asked is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he would have to be disfigured or his right eye look like a grape fruit or grape or whatever, that he would be blind in his right eye, that he would have something between his eyes. That he would, what he would make seem like the truth would actually be false, or he may seem false would actually be the truth. He also said that he would be, that his dog would be followed by 70,000 Jews of Ishihan and will be dressed in robes of green colored sacks. Ishihan is a city in Persia. You know, so I'm just curious. So you don't think that the dissolve? Because I mean, like the prophet said, before the appearance of the dissolve, certain things would happen. He said that there would be 3 years of famine. The first year there'd be 1/3 less rain. The second year there'd be 2/3 less rain. And the third year there'd be no rain at all. So this is what's going on in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is in a 3-year drought. Also, it said there'd be mass exodus. 4 million people have left Afghanistan, you know, so there's 4 million people that left. Also, they said this place would be warred. Afghanistan's been in war for a long time. They said there would be a rolling museum of unstable. You know, the Taliban is in the middle of a civil war. And also, the prophet said that there'd be people buying militaries out of their own budget or whatever, and that the last caliph would have so much money, he'd be spending money without even counting it. And also, you know, Osama bin Laden is a very rich man. He's been saving money without even thinking about it, buying freeways in Sudan, hospitals and stuff. He's been buying military without his own money and stuff. So all this stuff has to happen before the appearance of the result. And then it said that...
Okay, thank you. Okay, please keep your questions in a short questions, you know. And, okay. You're talking about somebody said this, somebody said that. If you want to know the truth, go to the scriptures. Do not listen to somebody or something or somewhere or a guru or a teacher or a mullah or a projector or a psychic or whatever. You go ahead and read the scripture. According to the scriptures, there is going to be the coming of this revelation. The seventh seal will be opened. The book with the seventh seal, with the seventh seal, will come to humanity. The person who will bring this teaching will fulfill all the prophecies, and that's what we know who he is. And the Dajjal or the Antichrist are the concepts that created in this religion, and that meant the forces or the powers which are against God and against God's revelation. And that has been with us all along. They have never been. They haven't been Maya or the attacks into the external world. And bringing that to the concept of a person is a man-made concept. There is no such a thing. And all these concepts of Dajjal and the Antichrist are really a small part of the scriptures. And the only place in the Old Testament that we talk about the Antichrist is in the books that written by Paul, right? And some other places. But Christ talks about the the forces that take you from God, and that is Maya, and that is what the most important part about the Antichrist, or is not being from God. So don't listen to people. Don't listen to things that try to explain what's happening on earth. These are the tribulation that God has predicted to come to humanity, and the only salvation from it is the teaching come from God in this time, at the time of the end of the time, which is the end of the old era and the beginning of the golden age, which will come for the next 12,000 years. So, go to the scripture. Go listen to God's word. Don't let any man tell you what is God's word. That is what another thing the mission of my fear does. It connects you to God. I don't even want you to be connected to me and take me as God and worship me. I want you to go directly to God because you can. God and you are one. There is no separation between you. You don't need the preacher. You don't need the teacher. You don't need the guru. You don't need the rabbi. You don't need the father. And you don't need the mullah. You don't need anyone to tell you how to contact God. Just close your eyes and worship God in a spirit, as Christ said that there will be a day that you will worship God in a spirit. You don't need to go to Jerusalem or any mosque or any hajj or any place. You can worship Him right where you are. Just sit down somewhere comfortably, keep your back straight, your head straight, close your eyes, and concentrate on breathing. Breathe in Hari Om Shri Hum. Means the goal of life is to be divine, to become divine. Om Nam Kevala. Breathe out Om Nam Kevala. That means that divinity, God, is everything. There is no separation. There is nowhere in the universe that God is not. Therefore, you don't need them. Don't listen to humanity. Humans, don't listen to teachers, don't listen to anybody but God's word and the person who God has predicted to come. Anybody else does not have the whole truth, and they will misguide you. So please keep your questions in a very short and sweet, and also realize that you have to go to God. Okay, Kekana, go ahead.
I have done a class with us who were stressed and went to the Baha'i site and tried to find out about the prophecy that you're saying, that according to the Baha'i prophecy that you are the Messiah or the Messiah. Well, in the Baha'i prophecy it says, for why did you spend the vision of Baha'u'llah would last for at least 1,000 years, this cycle will extend so far that it exists. So that relates to your claim of prophethood according to the Baha'u'llah prophecy. Yes, it was written by Shoghi Effendi. That's true.
John is here. I let John 1981 answer that question. The prophecies, I didn't write the prophecies down. Other people found those prophecies that fulfilled through this vessel, and therefore they know about those prophecies much more than I do. John, are you there? Do you want to go ahead and answer that question? Of course, you can find the answer in the website. John has already answered that. He was a Baha'i himself, and later on he realized that our teaching is, you know, even greater. And the coming of this teaching has been prophesied even in Baha'i teaching. John, can you hear me? If you want to go ahead and answer that question.
Shalom, Maitreya. I hope everyone can hear me. I'd be glad to answer that question. As Maitreya said, I was a Baha'i for quite some time. It does say in the dispensation of Baha'u'llah, a book written by Shoghi Effendi. Actually, it wasn't a book written by him. It was part of three most authoritative figures in the Baha'i faith, that the tree is predicted in the following ways. Reports can go and verify these on the website. He is predicted by his birth name, his birthplace, his birth date, what he is going to do, what revelations he will bring, where he will go to, where his dispensation will begin. So it breaks it down into every little detail of the tree's life. The prophecies are fulfilled, and I request you go to Maitreya.org. There we have two entire sites devoted just to prophecies from the Baha'i Faith. I hope that makes sense. KMA, I hope that's a good question. And thank you, Maitreya.
I hope that answers your question, Kekeme. And of course, you can go to our website, as John mentioned, maitreya.org, www.maitreya.org. They are all there, all the prophecies. I didn't write them. The other people found them and gave it to us. So I hope you can find your answers there. Bambino, please go ahead, but do not make it very long, make it short, and don't bring who said what. If you want to know more about those things, go to our website also, and you will read a lot about, your questions are going to be answered. Actually, the answer of every question, conceivable question is given there. Go ahead, Bambino.
But then, with all due respect, I was saying the talking of the Prophet Muhammad, Salaam al-Wasalaam. You know, I mean, I wasn't just saying like a truth or whatever, but I was just hearing though. Have you ever seen a unit of two unions Islam like most of the Hajj, the pilgrimage in Mecca? Or have you ever been to the city of Medina to the Prophet's mosque just to see the unity of Muslims, the unity of Islam? I'm just curious.
Okay. All right. Can you tell us where in Quran Prophet Muhammad said those things?
The Quran is only half of the religion of Islam, because the Prophet, or in the Quran, it does say that anything that has been put down by Allah or by the Prophet has to be followed, and anything that is not followed is off the straight path. So any of his examples that he said, or anything that he said to do, you have to do. And, you know, as you know, the Hajj or the pilgrimage is one of the five pillars of Islam. You know, everybody knows it. But like I said, the does in the Quran that any matter who has been decreed by Allah or the Prophet has to be followed. And if he said it in the Hadith or the Sunnah of the Prophet, you know, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and, you know, the scholars verify these to be authentic, it has to be followed.
Okay. Islam is the probably religion I am most familiar with, okay, I've been born in it, okay? And which, you are talking about Haditha and the things that the people brought from him. Which Haditha are you talking about? Which one is the correct one? There is many people following different Haditha, and they are each saying that is the correct one. Even Quran itself was lost, and there was two versions of it. And the people who knew Quran by heart, many of them were killed. And there was two versions of Quran, and there was great upheaval, which doesn't correct. Prophet Muhammad himself says he hasn't revealed the whole truth. He revealed only a part of the, you know, holy tablet. How can he be the last prophet if he had only given a portion of the holy tablet? You know? Don't be dogmatic about your religion. If you want to hear and be dogmatic, you're going to have dogmatic Christians, dogmatic Jews, dogmatic Hindus, dogmatic Buddhists, okay? And each of them going to tell you they are the correct one, that's the only way if you go any other way. Even dogmatic Baha'is, okay, that they're going to come to you and say, well, no, you're not the one. That's fine. You can keep your dogmas for yourself and don't believe us, and you don't care. Go your way and we go our way and say, see who is the truthful eventually. Okay? So, those hadiths, those things about Prophet Muhammad, is a lot of controversy in them. Many people follow different hadiths. Some of them accepted, some not accepted. It's been discussed. It's been, you know, reputed. Many of them, you know, are not authentic. And the other word, even here in this mission that I've been giving 20 years of teaching, some of my disciples say things it's not my word, okay, and I have to correct them and we have to discuss it together and see what is the truth was. And then Prophet Muhammad even didn't write his book down, that this though is written down here and put in the internet and being corrected, I'm still here and I'm not letting anybody change it. And a lot of people wanted to change it. He had many people, even my own disciples, okay, wanted to change it. Okay, so there are a lot of things happened after Prophet Muhammad, you know, left, and he never wrote these things down. And nobody wrote these things down. Okay, there was only one version was written down with one person kept underneath his bed, and then that got lost. So you can see, you cannot rely on those hadiths, you cannot rely on everything you hear. And also there have been two versions of Quran, and also it wasn't really exactly what it was. And in Quran itself says, I did not bring the whole tablet, holy tablet, but I got a portion. So those things you are telling me is dogmas. Go ahead, Unity 19. There's a question that it says that this is not the Baha'i teaching, but would be considered those of a covenant breakers, why doesn't Michael answer it? Well, covenant breaker, you have to be a Baha'i before you can become a covenant breaker, okay? If you're not a Baha'i, how can you be a Baha'i, a covenant breaker? I've never been a Baha'i, so I can't be a covenant breaker. Also, covenant breaker is the word of whom? Is the word of Abdul Baha, that, you know, that the first person, you know, opposing this was his own brother, is having a problem in the, you know, who is going to become the leader of the Baha'is. And we can see there every time Baha'i leaders die, there is a great upheaval and destruction and a split in Baha'i people. And even Baha'u'llah himself said it is impossible, you know, having a Baha'i system without a guardian. You don't have any guardian. You said you don't need it anymore. And according to the very words of Baha'u'llah, you know, your religion's finished. You know? Because he said, without guardian, you can't have a Baha'i religion. Therefore, and that's another sign you have right in our face, it's saying, there is no guardian, there is no Baha'i teaching. There is no Baha'u'llah teaching. Therefore, you cannot have Baha'i continue in the belief, because he already said, you need that guardian. Go ahead, John.
Shalom, Maitreya. I did have a question from Paula, but I can get to that. To answer the question, Shoghi Effendi himself did say several times in his writings that if the institution's guardianship was taken away from the Baha'i faith, that it would be rendered anew, that it would be permanently hindered from bringing God's kingdom on earth. It's in Shoghi Effendi's own words, of course, it's also on our website. So Maitreya is absolutely right. If we look through the scriptures discernibly, we shall see that another prophet shall come, that it won't be a covenant breaker, because the high faith will lose its guardian, which it did, and that it will be rendered powerless, and that this next prophet is predicted at every level and stage of his life in the high faith. The Baha'i scriptures are the most powerful and predictive of all the prophets. I urge you can go to the website that will resolve many of the problems that we have in the group. And of course, anyone who truly keeps the covenant in the Baha'i faith would be a member of the Mission Maitreya, because he fulfills the prophecy and the promise of the covenant.
John Glennett, if you have a question also, I'll answer that.
Thank you, Maitreya. The question is from Paulo. And are you the last messenger, and after you, will there be others?
According to the prophecies, when the seven seals is open, it is done, it's finished. And also in the verse of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 7, it clearly says, when the seventh angels come, the mystery of God will finish. And when the seventh angel open, you know, at the end of the Revelation, it says it's done, it's finished. And also, if you go to our website, if you read our teaching, there should not be any questions that will not be answered. The mystery of God is indeed explained. Even how to create the kingdom of heaven on earth is been revealed to humanity. And also the tribulation that humanity is going through and will go through will bring people to realization that their religions are done. Every religion on earth has been existing to this point. So we can reveal the seven seals to them and explain how each of them fall into the seven seals and the eternally one path, and how they can be unified. You don't have to leave your religion. The only thing is understand the plan of God and realize that all religions, all disciplines, everything on earth has come from God. And the only separation and differences between you, your religions, the branches in your religions, and your separation from other religions are dogmas and man-made. And if you take those dogmas and realize our teaching, since this is the eternal divine path, you realize, yes, that makes sense, and you're no longer going to be a Jew or a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Muslim. You will become a divine because you are in the eternal divine path. And eventually, hopefully, we will become all one. As I said, if everybody accepts this tomorrow, they're going to have peace and the kingdom on earth tomorrow, but it's not going to happen. We better know than just say that it is going to happen tomorrow, but apparently human has to go through the tribulation and destruction before they realize that they are wrong. Those who are waiting for somebody to come from the sky, let them wait. Those who are waiting for somebody come by the name of Dajjal, and then Prophet Muhammad come, let them wait. Those who believe that, you know, they are the chosen one, let them wait. Those who think they are the way, let them wait. And we wait for them, and we will eventually see this is the truth. The prophecies God said will such a person come with these prophecies fulfilled through him has come, then teaching will come, unify all humanity, and seven angels will open the book sealed with the seven seals has come. Therefore, there is no way but to conclude, yes, this is the last revelation of God to humanity, and this is unifies everyone and brings the kingdom. To answer to the question, definitely yes. Go ahead, Unity 19. Okay, let me go in. Okay, Unity 19, we read your writing on the board. We are not here to argue with you, okay? Go to our website, it is answered there. The prophecy for 1,000 years was not for Baha'u'llah. He was a twin prophet. Indeed, the teaching of Bab was not perfect. If you go to the holiest of the holies in chapter 3 of the Revelation, which is talking about the fifth church, which is the Baha'i, the very beginning says it is not perfect. Why it is not perfect? Because a lot of things Bab said was not practical, it was his opinion, and also you glorify your prophet. You worship Baha'u'llah. You do not worship God. And that is not perfect. Whoever worships the prophet instead of God, their religion is not perfect. They make the prophet in the way of you connect you to God. Here in the Mishnah of Maitreya, we connect you to God. I don't want you to worship me. I don't want tomorrow you create abundance of dogma around my personality and make the personality call and worship me instead of God. I connect you to God. Therefore, Baha'i teaching is not perfect. God said it is not perfect. It is in the scriptures. And Bab did not perfect it. Baha'u'llah came to perfect it. He did a good job. But still, even in your teaching also, Baha'u'llah wrote a lot of scriptures, a lot of revelation, but he never revealed it to humanity. He told his clerk to throw them into the river because humanity was not ready then. If he was the person who will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, he should have let everything come from God to humanity. Therefore, he also did not write the whole thing and give it to humanity. Therefore, he did not, you know, he cannot be the last prophet. And now we can see all the prophecies are fulfilled. The Hindu prophecies, the Buddhist prophecies, the Christian, the Jews, the Muslim, all the prophecies are put to this point. Therefore, this is the time for the coming of the last prophet. And he gave everything to humanity. He did not hold back. So go again to the thing. Please do not be argumentative. You know, and we go now to Rachel 126. Go ahead, Rachel.
A while ago, Maitreya stated that he had never been a Baha'i. My question is, from what tradition does Maitreya come? Thank you.
Again, if you go to our website there and go to our literature, to other literature topic, there is a booklet called How He Became Maitreya. You can find everything about me, where I was born, how I was raised, how I was guided to this revelation, how I started it, and all that. But answer the question, I was born in Tehran, in Iran, I was born in the Islamic tradition. My grandfather was a very well-known clergy in province of Taliban, and he almost owned a village called Shahrazad, which I was spent most of my summers there. So I was in a big city and at the same time in a small village as a summer, you know, spending time there. And so I was born in Islamic background, and of course Tehran is the fulfillment of the prophecy that Jews and Christians are waiting for Messiah, prophet, to come from the east, and the Buddhists and Hindus are waiting for Maitreya and Kalki and avatar to come from the west, and Tehran is right in the middle of those two religions, or those three, four religions and cultures, and that is also the fulfillment of one of the prophecies. Of course, there are a lot of prophecies, as I said, many people have found and came and gave it to us in the mission, and people, you know, who have done it, some of them even went in the mission when they received those prophecies, and then they realize, yes, I have to come out. So it's not something they were in the mission and tried to match me with the, you know, prophecy, but they find the prophecy first, and then they can say, okay, yeah, I want to be a part of it. So that is what my background is. But if you want to know more about me, there is a booklet there called How He Became My Career. You can search for it, or you can go to our literature, other literatures, and then you can find it there. Go ahead, Chikane.
Thank you very much. I have a final question. You have just a few minutes ago suggested that Baha'u'llah's words and he himself was not perfect. If that is true, then why do you justify your own station according to the prophecies of other religions? And one of the criteria for prophets is that they never, never put other prophets down or diminish their station. And you have done this, and that I found unacceptable.
Well, I don't put anybody down. This is in their scripture, right in the Bible. It says it's not perfect. I don't diminish their station. They were both great prophets. They brought wonderful revelation to humanity. And actually, they relate the fifth seal, which is related to the ether. And ether is the people, when you reach in the meditation to that ether, they think they reach the end. You know, they think they're perfect. They start traveling in the astral projection and see all these great, wonderful beings, and they can talk to them, and these wonderful people saying wonderful things. And if you read the teaching of Baha'u'llah and Bab, you know, you cannot find Bab anymore, because Baha'i destroyed Bab's, you know, book, and we cannot find Bayan, because they changed a lot of things after Bab, and they completely covered Bab's teaching, because they said he's no longer good, and he was the first one who created things. And you can see that the truth is the truth is the truth, even if it hurts, okay? And this is where we say the truth, and that is what the truth is, and that is what the Word of God is telling you in His Scripture. It is not going to be perfect. So is not the seventh level of your spiritual progress. When you do astral projection, when you go to ether, when you see those wonderful things in that level, this is not, you think it's the last one and you have reached the end of your spiritual progress. You are not. It's the same thing, you know, goes with the fifth revelation. The spiritual progress is the fifth level, and the people who reach there, they think, oh, that's it, it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful. Baha'i's word is wonderful. His revelation is fantastic. I have no problem with praising him and what he brought to humanity, and I'm not diminishing his station or Bob's station. Every, you know, revelation came from God is great and wonderful, and but it is in the scripture, it says it's not perfect. So every Baha'i who is a real searcher, which also was recommended by the Prophet, be a searcher and question and ask, and find the truth, we'll read the scripture and find out what I say is correct. Unless, of course, you're dogmatic and you're angry or unhappy because I have said the truth. Well, that I cannot help it. Go ahead, Bambino.
Okay, now I just have a question. Because you said the whole Quran was rebuilt or was lost or whatever. But it says in Surah 5:3, it says, this day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you its plans as a religion. Also, I was curious, do you know about how the division between Ali and Umar got started? There was a Jewish guy, and I'm not anti-Semitic, but this is just the fact. I think his name is Muhammad, I can't remember his name. He said he was trying to tell Ali that he could be the next Caliph for the stuff, right? But his whole motive was to create division in Islam. I don't know if you knew about that or not. And you still never answered my question. Have you ever been to Mecca, or have you ever been to the city of Medina?
Well, no, I have not been to either Mecca nor Medina. It's not necessary. It's not needed. That was the prophecy that Bob fulfilled, that he will go to Mecca and Medina. And Bob did those and fulfilled that. Of course, you still don't accept Bob and Baha'u'llah as the revelation came after Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, you think I should be doing it. I don't have to do it. That is done, finished. Now it is a new wine in a new skin. And the region between Ali and Omar, it's not in Quran. And in Quran says, yes, Prophet Muhammad finished his religion and perfected for what he came to humanity and bring the message of surrender and submission to humanity. He finished that part. He is correct. But he did not finish the whole thing, the whole revelation. He said that he has not revealed the whole holy tablet. He bent over a lot of it. Therefore, if he did not reveal the whole tablet, there has to come another prophet to finish this. And also Prophet Muhammad says God is an able God. He can do whatever he wants. You know? And if he wants to send another prophet, he will. If Muslims say he cannot, you are limiting God. In Islam, which is not limited, and it is your dogma that believe in it, you probably you're going to come up next and say the word Khatam means he was the last prophet. Of course, that is also explained in our teaching. You can pronounce this as Khatam, as the last prophet, or Khatam as the seed of the prophet. Again, your teaching, you will see that both explanations correct. He was the Khatam, he was the last, he brought the highest spiritual realization to humanity. Highest spiritual realization is surrendering and submissive to God. Surrendering means to do your work and surrender the result to God, so you are not attached to the result. And submission is you let God come through you, and therefore, he is going to do a perfect job because God is perfect. If you really let God come through you, you are completely submissive to him, and God doing the work through you, you are not doing anything, you are not attached to the result. Therefore, God, Prophet Muhammad brought the highest spiritual realization to humanity. In that sense, he is the last prophet. And also, if you look at the greatest sign, you can see Islam is very top of the greatest sign, just like the seal in a ring. Okay? So both of them are correct and explained in the mission, and take the argument that Muslims have had about that word for 1300 years. And also the argument between Muslim and Baha'i about what is the meaning of the Khatam. Is it Khatam or is it Khatam? Of course, Baha'i says it's Khatam. It means he was the seal of the prophet. It didn't mean Khatam, the end, or the last prophet. And Muslim said, no, it's Khatam. It means the last prophet. Now, we unified that argument as well. We say both of you are correct. Khatam means he brought the highest spiritual realization. Therefore, he was last prophet in that sense. But he did not bring the whole truth. He did not bring the whole holy tablet to humanity, and Khatam, he is there at the very top of the greatest sign. Go ahead, Unity.
My dear, you are not teaching truth in my opinion. God has much in his soul, and man is speaking about the answer to himself, and man is preaching and testing and doing good in my humble opinion. Satan has not done anything but to think about how it is, and he's not over how we are.
Oh, that's okay. Just open them. Open it. Okay, unit 19, I don't think we want to let you, you know, come in anymore because you are becoming argumentative. We are not here to argue. Go to our website, read the teachings, see the prophecies are fulfilled, read the prophecies about the Baha'is and their teaching, read our teaching about the Baha'i and their teachings, and come up with the conclusion. Either you conclude we are correct and we say the truth, come and join and help, or you say we are not truth and incorrect, you go your way, we leave you to God and let God judge between us. And you are not going to change our mind, and apparently you are not going to be able to change yours. But the truth is in the website, it is fulfilled of the prophecies, and the teaching unifies our religions, and all religions are not the same. It is not that God is going to send a revelation through prophets forever, as the Baha'i teaching says. It is going to finish. It is not the scriptural that God is going to send, you know, prophets forever. And therefore, we can see that, again, that teaching is not perfect. I am sorry it hurts you. You doesn't like it. You don't like it. I'm not trying to put Baha'u'llah or Baha'i teaching or Bab down. They are beautiful prophets from God, and we accept them with all our heart, and we recognize the station, but the scripture is clear and truth, therefore go and study that. Okay, go ahead, Macomb.
Thank you. How are you? Nice to see you again. Nice to see you again. My question, I have three questions in one, but all about the same thing. I came without the Holy Ghost. When did you last experience it? And did any other person on earth, including prophets up to now, did any other person besides Jesus bring the Holy Ghost back to earth? That's my question. Number two. And number three, will it be experienced again in our time? Thank you.
Yes, the Holy Ghost, the grace of God, was taken away from humanity at the time of the Garden of Eden, and human. That is what they fell, and they stopped, you know, worshipping the stones and the statues and kings and the queens. Of course, they are still doing that, or stars, or the Hollywood, or whatever, you know, that they can replace God with. And the Holy Ghost then was released by Christ, and that is when the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost came, and people thought his followers are drunk, but they weren't. They were in the spirit with the Holy Ghost, and they felt, you know, very beautifully, and they spoke in many tongues that, of course, they have been reincarnated before in that tongue. That's why they know how to talk in that tongue, in that language. And will we experience Prophet Muhammad experience it? He received the Holy Ghost. Actually, Holy Ghost is the revealer of the revelations. And the truth, and although the Holy Ghost was taken away from humanity, it was released to the prophets of the Old Testament. So, although the regular human could not experience it, from people like Moses, people like Job, people who, or Jonah, and all those prophets at the Old, they experience the Holy Ghost, because if you do not experience the Holy Ghost, you cannot experience the truth. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God reveals the revelation to the prophet. Have I experienced the Holy Ghost? I'm experiencing right now. The Holy Ghost should be with me, that I will be able to reveal you this truth that I am giving you, and if you have been chosen, you will say, yes, that makes sense what he said. There has to be one God, one humanity. God cannot send all this religion. You know, Prophet Muhammad did not reveal the whole truth. You know, Baha'u'llah and Bab, you know, a struggle to perfect the religion, but it wasn't perfect. It says in the scripture of God, it wasn't perfect. And we can see it now. Even the guardianship was taken away from them. The very base of the very pillar of the religion is gone. Okay, we can see that all these truths are there, and if the Holy Ghost will touch you, he say, yeah, my fear is right. My fear is correct. What he says is from God, is from the Holy Ghost, and then you follow eternal divine path, then you awaken your spiritual forces, dedicate yourself and your love to perish of the comings of life, sacrifice for it, surrender and submit yourself to the will of God to see, why God sent me here? Why this life is all about? Why am I here for? Am I here to preach and teach this teaching from my prayer? Or am I here just with the floor in the one of the centers of the mission? No matter what, I am here for that purpose. I will do it. I listen to God. I surrender, submit to the will of God. I will surrender my life to this revelation, and therefore you will be, you know, completely, you know, one with God. This God is going to do through you, and then break all the narrowness of the mind, of the gender, color, nationality, anything, you know, title. You know, some of the biggest problems with humanity, title. I'm a rabbi, I'm a big shot, or I'm a mullah, I'm a father, I'm a, you know, this and that. All through all that, I'm the teacher, even I'm the big teacher of the mission of my church. Everybody should, you know, bow down in front of me and all that. So, throw them all out and become an instrument for God and help everybody in the universe, you know, no matter where they're from or who they are, how they look, what language they have. If they need help, help them and come and spread this magic to humanity. And then you become an elect. You will experience the Holy Ghost. Okay? Holy Ghost is given to you. It is your birthright. God wants you to have it. He gave it to Adam and Eve in the beginning. Okay? He didn't withdraw from them. The grace was with them. So God wants to give it to you. But you have to do something. You have to earn it. Okay? God didn't want you to earn it in the beginning. He just gave it just like Saxon room, or like here. Actually, he wanted everybody to come and participate and be nice to us. But he saw, you know, if we let everybody talk, you know, then you see what happened there, start with the, you know, things that it just didn't make sense. Okay. So, just like us, we like to give everybody the floor so they can talk. But unfortunately, we have to restrict and make it more orderly. That's exactly how God is. He wants you to have the Holy Ghost. He wants you to experience it. But first, you have to go through the eternal divine path. Then when you get the sixth seal, you will experience it. Go ahead, Luke.
Is there a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit?
Okay, there is none. It's the same thing. Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and they are the same thing. Of course, in, according to my definition, unless you have another definition for yourself, and you define Holy Ghost something and Holy Spirit something else. But in my book and in my definition, they are the same thing. Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, Ashok.
Hello, Maitreya, my question is, you're speaking about how the Holy Spirit can benefit mankind, but my question is, how does what you teach benefit God?
How it benefits God? How it not benefit God? God created the whole universe to help the humanity go back to Him, and this is the way back to God. And that's what God wants. God created this universe to help humanity to turn around, to be baptized. The creation is, the force of creation is going away from God, going to Maya, going to the external world, being lost, not going back to God. And creation, me and you, everybody is a part of his body, just like a part of your body is disease. And he goes to the doctor and you ask the doctor, okay, your treatment, what is going to do, it's going to help this disease, but how is it going to help my body? Yeah, because if you cure the disease, my body is going to feel better. That is why God created and sent the prophet. Why is he so concerned about our well-being and wants to send the prophet and go through all these problems and send the messengers and messages to humanity? If it would not benefit him, he would just leave us alone. He would just forget these people. You know, why do you have to struggle so much with us and want us to return and turn around? Because it does help God by bringing us back to the body and unifying ourselves with him and heal the universe and go back to the state of Venus, which is the state of complete bliss and oneness, which of course Buddha called it, you know, Nirvana, you know. Hindus call it, you know, oneness with God, and Sufis call it, you know, being in love with God with all your heart, mind, and spirit, and Christ also the same thing. So why all these people saying this thing? If it is only benefit humanity, you know, then that's not good enough. You know, why God wants only benefit humanity if it doesn't benefit him? So this teaching not only benefits humanity, also it benefits the universe, because it teaches you have to meditate, you have to awaken your spirit. You have to question your religion, you believe. You have to go and listen to the word of God. You have to go to the scripture and say, what did God say about me and my religion? Is that really perfect, as I think, or is it just because, you know, the house of justice or my religion says it is perfect, therefore I have to accept it? No, even if I say something that doesn't make sense, don't accept it. You should not, and I hope you will not. Okay, because, you know, if it doesn't make sense, it's not from God, because God has a lot of sense. So, God, you know, God sent this revelation because humanity needs it, and he needs humanity to go back to Godhead. Go ahead, Lou.
My question is, speaking of
time having many powers in a spirit are a part of your birthright, and there are many of them which are the gift of the spirit. But they are not the goal of the meditation, they are not the goal of the the spiritual progress. The goal of the spiritual progress is not to gain power. It's not to gain psychic powers. But in your progress towards the perfection or the pure consciousness, you will gain the spiritual powers. But you probably should learn from my own experience when I started meditating. You know, when I started meditating 1 month later, I could see the past and future of the people where I was. I was then in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and I knew a lot of people in my university and another school in Wilkes-Barre. And in the Wilkes-Barre, the people in Wilkes-Barre would invite us to go to the gathering, or we call it parties. So, and I started talking, telling the people what happened to them in the past and what is going to happen in the future a little bit. And they start becoming, I became the center of the parties, and everybody would say, you know, tell me about it, what did I do this and that. I would tell them, you know, and they were all amazed. And I felt, wow, what a great power I have. And 1 month later, 2 months later, that power was taken away from me, and I couldn't do that anymore, and it felt even worse than I was before. So, the lesson was, don't misuse your power. Don't think that is the goal of the life. The goal of the life is not to talk in tongues. The goal of life is not to see people's future or past. The goal of the life is not to have a 900 number so people can, and you can tell them from tarot, you know, your future, and if your boyfriend or girlfriend is going to stay with you or whatnot. These are not the goal of the life. The goal of the life is to become divine. How you become divine? By following the eternal divine path. Therefore, Holy Ghost has a lot of gifts, and it gives to you, but if you misuse it and you think that's the goal of your spiritual progress, you will be even worse than before. Go ahead, John.
Salome Patraya, I had a question about how the postures in the reminder affect the energy centers in the body.
Yeah, the reminder is the practice of praying that it's very similar to what Muslims call namaz. It is a new way of doing it. It starts with prayer salutations to the Divine Father, who has helped all come from ignorance to the path of enlightenment. Of course, the posture of the hand is in your center of your chest, on your fourth chakra. Therefore, you are relating to your fourth chakra, and you are coming from that center in the stuff of lower nature or lower chakras. Therefore, you're, with that, you're awakening that part of your spiritual body that affects your chakras. And then, of course, you raise your hand and you pray, you know, you open our hearts to your grace. So you open your heart, yourself, to the grace of God, which is the Holy Ghost. And you want to experience the Holy Ghost. You want to receive, you know, Holy Ghost gifts. But be aware, as I explained, that's not the goal of the spiritual progress. So you open yourself by opening your heart to God, so He can enter in your fourth chakra and open it up. And then detaching ourselves from Maya. Detaching means not to be attached to the result of action. Therefore, that's the fifth and sixth, you know, the opening yourself to God, believing that God is everything. That is the fifth chakra. That is the, again, you know, universalism. And detaching yourself from God, and from Maya, that means, you know, you are completely surrendering and submissive to God, and that is fourth. And that affects your fourth chakra, fifth chakra, and then you, you know, bow down and promise to hold the whole universe to reach higher consciousness, and that again is the fifth level, which your intention is to help the whole universe, is not only one group, one community or anything, but you expand yourself to the whole universe. That's again universalism, and then, you know, you bow down in front of all those great souls who have helped, but, you know, will help, you know. Therefore, you recognize the prophet in the past, the revelation came through the mission, and prophet in the future. Therefore, you become the Paravipra. You shatter all the narrowness of the mind, and you expand yourself. You realize God is the doer in all these things. In the past, He's sending all these religions, and in the future, He will send other great souls which explain our teaching according to that time, place, and people involved. There is not going to be any great revelation come after this one. That's it. That's the end of it. But there are going to be great souls come and probably explain different parts that some people did not understand it, or they're trying to change it and all that. And these great souls are going to help to keep our teaching and mission going. Of course, I will be also reincarnated and come back and help in the process. So so that also expands yourself to the sixth chakra for this Paravipra-hood, because we will believe in them, they will come. Then you shall submit, you know, to the word of God and the greatest sign and though and our teaching. And that means, again, you do not just accept one religion, you accept the whole religions, you know, that come through you know, prophets. And that again, expansion, that is acceptance, that's unification, that's shattering of the, you know, narrowness of the mind. And also you surrender and submit to the formless, nameless, and invisible. Means you don't give any name, any shapes, anything to God that separates man. Anytime you give a name, anytime you give a shape, anytime you give any physical thing to God, it's going to create this separation. And so the name, the shape, or anything given to God is not acceptable. Therefore, by doing that, you again shatter the pitfall of falling into a teacher, a guru, or a mullah, or a priest, or a rabbi or a father or whatever, that it is between you and God, and you go to God directly to formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal, which is F-I-N-E, fine, and you will completely free yourself from any pitfall on earth which has separated